Oh, it's lovely to be with you this evening. Thank you for being here tonight. As I said earlier, this evening, our goal with it really was to bless those of you, particularly with exams or assessments, but also just anyone that's facing a particularly busy period in life. And so this evening I'm just going to share 15 minutes. I will set a timer, so I shouldn't go over. I'm famous for going over. Just going to share a few things related to stress and busyness and rest, hopefully to bless you guys in a stressful and potentially busy time. So I'm going to start my timer. If I don't have a timer when I talk, I talk for a while. So let me just do that. Sweet. I have a question for you guys. Who has ever in their life felt stressed before? At some point or another. Great, I'm glad we've got no liars in the room. If you didn't put your hand up, either you're lying or you need to teach me how you do that, because I don't believe you. I really don't believe you. We're in good company. I've been looking into stress and worry, kind of statistics on it, and particularly in young people, as that's our kind of main demographic here at Encounter. And I found that YouGov did a study. It's always YouGov that do a study. But YouGov did a study, and they found that 83% of 18 to 24-year-olds in the UK have felt so stressed at some point over the last year that they felt overwhelmed or unable to cope. So it's 83% of 18 to 24-year-olds. And 60% of them, this is interesting, I think, said that this high stress was related to the pressure to succeed or to do well. 60%. But it's not just the 18 and over kind of group that have this phenomenon of stress. The charity Childline delivered over 3,000 counseling sessions online or over the phone on exam stress specifically in 2016 and 2017. It's 3,000 courses, which was a 2% increase than they'd had to do the previous year and an 11% increase on the year previous to that. So there's kind of this increasing demand for help and support, particularly during exam season, in the young people in this country. But I wonder what some of the causes of your stress are. I wonder if a few of you could call out, what are those things that made you put your hand up when I first asked you, what stresses you out in life? Anyone? Exams? Yes, that's the big one for a lot of people here at the moment, I'm sure. Anything else? Deadlines. Again, all this study-related stuff. It's a really big thing. And particularly from when you're about 12 to when you're about 25, maybe? That's a long time to be in education. It kind of varies people to people. But to be being examined in education, that's a long time for those to be kind of on your mind. Is there anything else that stresses people out? Maybe people in the workplace? Work? Is that stressful? See, people are nodding now. They're like, yeah, my work is stressful. I was looking into what stresses people out, and school and uni and work, they were very high up on the lists, but also things like relationships, family, breakdown, money and debt, it's a really big one, getting old, some of you are very far away from getting old, so you're probably like, that's ages away, but getting old is apparently a big one, what we look like, illness, all these different things that can cause stress in our lives. But I think a big one for a lot of us at the moment is exams, and that kind of assessment period. So life can be pretty stressful, and especially during these higher pressure seasons of exams and assessments. So tonight I'd quite like to briefly look at a potential solution, or at least something that will help to alleviate people's pain during those busy seasons in life. And that is the topic of rest, which is something that I'm very passionate about, and I think God is very passionate about. So we're going to look at two things tonight. We're going to look at what is good rest. What does the Bible say about rest? What does it look like to be resting well? And then we're going to look at how can we rest? How can we do that, have that good rest? And kind of some more practical tips on rest. So what is rest? Now you're probably thinking to me, Becky, I'm really busy right now. May and June are like the busiest times of my year, and you're telling me that we're going to talk about rest. I don't have any time to rest at the moment. I sleep, and then I get up, and then I work, and that is my life at the moment, and I feel your pain, I really do. Some of the students today went out for lunch. They're going to be like, Becky, stop talking about me. And some of you were studying over lunch with your friends because you've just got so much to do at the moment. So I really feel your pain. I did school, I did uni, and yeah, it's a really busy time. But rest is something that I think is really important amongst that busyness. And that's not just something that I think. I think the Bible talks about rest a lot. I mean, taking a Sabbath day, so a rest day where you have a day completely off work, is one of the Ten Commandments. It's in Exodus 20. And Jesus certainly talks about rest. There's quite a well-known, well-quoted passage in Matthew 11. Just a couple of verses. I think we're going to have it up. Oh, thanks, guys. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. And Jesus says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And we're going to focus in just on that first sentence and for a little bit. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." I think we can read over that and not really, read it really quickly and not really let that sink in. There's a real simplicity in Jesus' promise here, and yet there's also something that's so shocking and refreshing and just crazy. He doesn't offer us 10 steps to cure your exhaustion or a list of, you know, 5 things that you're doing wrong that are stopping you from having your dream life. You know those like blog posts that you just like really want to click on because you're like, oh yeah, what am I doing? Google, give me my dream life. He doesn't offer us self-help or a list of rules to follow in order to get this rest. Unique to anyone in human history, I would like to propose, Jesus simply offers himself as the universal solution to the things that burden us and make us weary. He simply says in verse 28, "Come to me." So what does coming to Jesus look like? Now, the context that's surrounding this passage is really useful, actually. I think we can quote this passage because it sounds really nice. But actually, the things around it are really helpful in our understanding of what Jesus is talking about here. So in Matthew 11, Jesus has just rebuked the cities that he's been in. And in Matthew 12, after this passage, he's going to rebuke the religious leaders. So he's going to give them a telling off. They had seen his miraculous works firsthand. They'd seen him perform miracles and do incredible things and teach. And they'd seen all these things that were clearly demonstrating that he was who he said he was, that he was God. And yet they still refused to believe in him. So when Jesus says, "Come to me," I think at least in part what he means is believe in who I claim to be. And therefore what I'm able to do for you. And here is where our tired and our weary souls are tested. Will we believe him? Will we trust him? Will we come to him? Our souls only will really find rest in one place. Psalm 62, which I think we're going to have up on the screen, says this. So the first few verses of Psalm 62 says, "Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." Really powerful words there. If you guys wanted to leave them up, that would be really helpful. Incredible, incredible claims there. That our souls will truly find rest in God. And Jesus knows this. Jesus knows that alone he is our salvation. He is our fortress. He is our rock and our refuge and our rest. He is the one answer to every question, every fear, every burden that we have. And so he simply says to us, "Come to me." Jesus gives himself to us fully and completely. And we see that mostly, actually, later on in his ministry, when he goes to the cross, when he goes to die for us. On the cross, Jesus takes on our unbearably heavy yoke. It's not an egg yolk. When I used to read the passages about yolk, I used to think it was talking about an egg yolk. But Jesus takes on our unbearably heavy yolk, our weight, the burdens that we have of sin and of the mess in our hearts. He takes that on himself and he offers us in exchange the easy yoke, the light burden of simply trusting in him, of coming to him, the one who is our fortress, the one who is our refuge and our rock. He does all the work and gives us all the rest in knowing him. So we can enter into that relationship with him daily and weekly and hourly for the rest of our lives and into eternity as well. Now, it's all well and good knowing this stuff. And I'm sure you're thinking right now, well, I would be thinking right now, Becky, I know that Jesus is where we find our true rest. That's the very Christian answer. It was kind of the obvious answer that God is our rest. He is where we can find true rest. As it says in Psalm 62, truly my soul finds rest in God. But I want to talk a little bit about the practical stuff, the nitty gritty stuff of what does that actually look like in our lives? Because I think we can come away from something and go, yeah, God is where I find rest, but not really know what to do with that. I'm by no means an expert in this. I have been through a lot of the education system, but there are a few things that I've picked up along the way that have really helped me as I have kind of struggled with this. How do I rest? How do I work? How do I let God be where I truly find rest? So I just want to give you guys a few tips and pointers as we think about how to make God the place where we find rest in our lives. The first one is to know what is truly restful for you. So as I've just said, God is where we can find true rest. But he can give us rest in a variety of different ways. I'm super extroverted. If you leave me alone for more than 2 hours, the next person I see, I will probably be super needy with because I'm just like, I need a person. Like, I like having people around me. Maybe being really social and enjoying the people that God has given you is something that will be really restful to your soul. Or maybe you're really introverted and you're like, Becky, I need alone time. I just want me and God time and no other people around. And that's great too. Make sure you fit that into your week. Maybe you like sports. Maybe you like being outside. I certainly find being in God's creation and just being surrounded by the glorious things that he's made something that brings rest to me. Our greatest need is Jesus when we need rest. But he can give us rest through these different activities and through the people that he gives us, through his creation. And in those things, we can be thankful and give him praise for the things that he's given us. So know what is truly restful for you. Number 2, pick a day off. It feels like having a day off has gone out of fashion. But as I mentioned earlier, having a Sabbath day is one of the Ten Commandments. And I just find picking one day in the week that I definitely have off really helpful. Dan and I always take Saturday off. We don't do any work then. I work for the church, so Sundays is kind of a weird day. I'm normally doing something to do with my job. So Saturday, we decide to never do anything that is related to our vocations. So Dan won't study and I won't do any work. And setting boundaries like this actually really helps us to be salt and light in the world. This world seems to value overworking and busyness is just put up on a pedestal. It seems to be that in conversations you can just end up having a competition about who's the busiest, who's got the most on their plate. And actually when you say, oh no, I'm taking Saturday off to rest, that's really countercultural. As we do that, we're demonstrating the hope and the security that Jesus gives us. We're saying that we don't need to overwork to succeed. We don't need to just drive ourselves into the ground toiling because instead we know that we are free indeed, as we were singing. Dan's had to learn. I haven't asked if I can share this, but I'm going to do this a lot. Dan's just finished. Yes, he finished a few days ago. He's just finished his degree in physics. 4 years of hard work. He doesn't need to. Everyone's clapping now. I'm very proud of him. But those last four years have been a time of really figuring out how to do rest and work. He has a lot of course mates that work 7 days a week, 10 hours a day, like crazy schedules. And he has had to learn to say, God, I'm giving you and my family and my friends and, but mostly God, this day off. And I'm going to rest and I'm going to trust that by giving this day to you and by having some time to rest, I won't fail my course. Because all of his friends would probably freak out and think, I'm going to fail if I take a day off. So in being purposeful and taking that day off, you're trusting God that he's got you, and you're honoring him in how you schedule your week. So know what is truly restful for you. Pick a day off. And then finally, give your soul that rest in Jesus that it needs. As I've been saying, come to Jesus. That's what he asks. That's what he says to us to do. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That means coming to Jesus in prayer daily. That means getting stuck into the Bible, finding a routine that works really well for you. And that sometimes just takes trial and error. I'm quite good in the mornings, and if I don't read my Bible in the mornings, I probably won't read it for the rest of the day. So I know that I have to start my day doing that, otherwise it will get forgotten on a long list of to-dos. Some people are great in the evenings. I'm normally tired by 9 o'clock at night, so trying to do anything after 9 p.m. is just not a good idea for me. But maybe you really like evenings, and that can be your time where you come to Jesus in prayer and in his word and feed your soul. Feed your soul on the truths that we've been singing about, that you're a child of God, that you're precious in his sight, that Jesus died for you so that you could be free indeed. And that you have a future inheritance from God that doesn't depend on your exam results, doesn't depend on that meeting you have at work. A future inheritance from God that will never perish or spoil or fade. And when we know these things, when we truly know these things from God, not only do we rest better, but we actually work better as well. I'd love to invite the band back up. I think I've been around 15 minutes, which is a miracle. And we're going to do some of that coming to Jesus now and getting that soul rest that we need from him. It's been great to sing together, and we're going to sing together a little bit more.